Exodus chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. And let's give our careful attention tonight to the reading of God's holy and infallible word. Exodus 6, verses 1 through 13. But the Lord said to Moses, "Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand he will send them out, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land." God spoke to Moses and said to him, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they lived as sojourners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the people of Israel, whom the Egyptians hold as slaves, and have remembered my covenant. Say therefore to the people of Israel, 'I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land that I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord.'" Moses spoke thus to the people of Israel, but they did not listen to Moses because of their broken spirit and harsh slavery. So the Lord said to Moses, "Go in, tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the people of Israel go out of his land." But Moses said to the Lord, "Behold, the people of Israel have not listened to me. How then shall Pharaoh listen to me? For I am of uncircumcised lips." But the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, and gave them a charge about the people of Israel and about Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Over the last few Lord's Day evenings, as a congregation, we have been experiencing various situations in which vows have been taken and promises have been made. Indeed, tonight we have many, as we mentioned, and as you can see there in the order, we have many wonderful things going on in this service in which vows will be taken. The Kalina family coming into church membership, the baptisms of Julia and Megan Kalina, the installation and ordination of our new deacons. Each of these events will involve the official taking of vows with promises to faithfully do certain things as members or as parents or as officers in the church. And therefore, I want to take the occasion of so much vow taking and so much promise making this evening to very simply and shortly address the subject of vow taking. Indeed, I want to simply and clearly and hopefully very briefly answer the question, why is it, why do we take vows and promise certain things? Why is that part of the people of God's lives and part of the function and the life of the church? Why do we take vows and promise certain things? Now, there are very good, and there are many good and important reasons that we take vows and make promises on important occasions, but there is an ultimate reason for doing so, and we want to eventually and shortly in a moment here get to that. But first of all, I do want to look very briefly at two good reasons why we do. These are not the ultimate reason, but these are good reasons. These are fitting reasons for vow taking and promise making. The first is we take vows and we make promises on important occasions. It's as simple as that. Important occasions are one of the good reasons for taking vows and making promises. Because first of all, we need to recognize that vows should only be taken and promises should only be made on important occasions. Some have thought that since Jesus says in his earthly ministry, let your yes be yes and your no be no, that Jesus was forbidding swearing oaths and taking vows. But a more careful reading of the whole of the scriptures shows that it is actually frivolous vows and swearing in just common situations that Jesus is actually forbidding. Vows and promises must be carefully considered. You do not come lightly to the taking of vows. You should not lightly make a promise. Ultimately, because God is a witness to your vows. God is witness to the promises that you make, and He will hold you accountable for the ones that you take. And therefore, it should be only upon solemn occasions, such as the establishment of official relationships, like marriages, or church memberships, or when someone assumes a leadership office, that we bind ourselves by vows. We take oaths, we make promises, and we bring ourselves under a great responsibility. And thus, the reason why we take vows and make promises on these occasions, the fact that we take these vows and we make promises on these occasions tonight, the very taking of these vows is actually witness to the solemnity of the actions that are taking place. These are important relationships that are being formed here tonight. And therefore, the very taking of the vows should say that to us. We should recognize, whoa, this is not just a casual relationship. Listen to what is being said. Listen to what is being promised. This is serious stuff that is going on here. Related to the previous reason, but getting more into the biblical terminology, and so these two under good reasons are very closely aligned, but related to that, but then now narrowing our focus to use actual biblical terminology, another good reason for swearing oaths, taking vows, making promises, is that it acknowledges that these important and solemn occasions are actually more than just important times. These are actually what's going on here tonight. This is actually the establishment of covenant relationships. The establishment of covenant relationships. In other words, all of these relationships that are being established here tonight have terms that govern those relationships. That right there tells you these are not just normal relationships. This isn't like a friendship in the neighborhood or a spontaneous time of fun that breaks out on a playground or something like that. These are not casual. These are not cheap relationships, but these are relational arrangements tonight that concern eternal matters. They require certain actions on the part of the participants tonight. These relationships are calls for action. When they are formed, each party has something to do after tonight, and important things to do. We're binding ourselves tonight to one another and to certain actions and activity. These are covenant commitments that are being made here, and these covenant commitments require faithfulness or else. They require faithfulness or else these relationships will not function rightly. Nor will these relationships last very long if there is not faithfulness on both sides of the parties. And therefore, the reason we take these vows and we swear these oaths and we make these promises is because we are entering into new covenantal relationships that will inevitably, the relationships formed tonight will inevitably and unavoidably result in either blessings or troubles, in either peace or conflict, edification or actual offense. We will not be able to avoid one of those two outcomes after these relationships are established here this evening. And thus we promise and we solemnly bind ourselves with vows establishing these covenant relationships tonight. And so when we join in official covenantal relationships, we take vows, we swear oaths, we make promises. And these are a couple of the good reasons for doing so, but there is a simple and a more ultimate reason that we do this. And it's to that ultimate reason that we want to turn finally this evening. The ultimate reason that we take vows and we swear oaths and we make promises is actually so simple that it is often overlooked and disregarded. And yet this reason is the easiest to understand, it's the easiest to show, and in fact it's the easiest to explain. And that ultimate reason is simply this. We take vows, we swear oaths, and we make promises on solemn occasions and at the establishment of covenantal relationships because God does. One of the most often repeated accounts in the Bible is a promise that God has made to His people, and that promise is found right here in the text that I read this evening. This promise is made in the context of an official, solemn covenant relationship. The promise is very profound, and it is significant, and it is found from beginning to end in the Bible. We see it here in Exodus, we read of it in Genesis, and you'll read of it again in the book of Revelation. And it is God's binding oath upon Himself that He will take us to be His people, and He will be our God. Look at verses 6 and 7 of our text tonight. I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God who has brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Before God's people were slaves in Egypt, God had made a covenant with Abraham promising this. This is Genesis chapter 17, verses 7 and 8. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant. And here's the promise: to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojourning, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. This is God's solemn covenantal oath. This is Him making a promise. This is Him binding Himself to do something. God goes on and promises to David in 2 Samuel 7, 12 through 14. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your own body. And I will establish his kingdom, and he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Then through Jeremiah, he promises a new covenant in these terms. Jeremiah 31:33, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Paul repeats the same promise as significant to the church, quoting our Exodus text. In 2 Corinthians 6:16, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And finally, at the very end of the Bible, this same promise of God is reiterated a final time again. Revelation 21, 3, and then verse 7 as well. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. You see, all of mankind, all cultures, not just our culture, not just the church. All of mankind, when it comes to serious and somber relationships, takes vows and swears oaths and makes promises. Think about it from our own experience. When the president takes office, when a couple is married, when a family joins an organization, when men take on leadership positions in the church, we always, everybody does around the world, we swear oaths, we make promises, we take vows because we were created in the image of God. And God is a covenant-making, promise-making, oath-swearing, vow-taking God. And thus we take them because He takes them. He has taken them. And as God was faithful to fulfill this oath that He swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which He witnessed and He reiterated His promise throughout the history of redemption, even at the cost of sending His only begotten Son, we too have an obligation when we swear oaths, when we take vows, when we make promises, we too are to hold fast to our covenantal vows. We too are to fulfill our promises. We too are to take serious these vows that we take. Because when we take vows and make promises, and when we fulfill those vows, by God's grace, when He enables us to walk in faithfulness to keep the promises that we have made, in that very action, we bear the image of God. We are in that faithfulness being conformed unto His likeness. And so it is as simple as that. We take vows, we make promises, because God swore an oath to us. God made a promise that we would be His people and He would be our God. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we acknowledge our weakness, how fickle we are. With You, there is no shadow of turning or change with us. We are blown by the wind. We change. We lose heart. We lose strength. And therefore, O God, we pray to You who has been witness to the vows that we have made. You who will hold us accountable for every word we have uttered. And we pray first for Your forgiveness, for our unfaithfulness in the covenant commitments we have already made. We pray You will grant us repentance that we might turn back from that and walk in new obedience, faithfully fulfilling what we swore we would do. But God, we plead as well tonight Your graciousness. We plead the empowering that comes from Your Spirit, that You might make us more faithful to the vows that we have taken and that we do take. Make us careful in our words. We do not want to offer to You the sacrifice of fools. Help us to be very careful, knowing that You will judge us in this area and that You require faithfulness in all of these things. We seek Your mercy now as we pray in Christ's name. Amen.